We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
How many of you have ever had to get on the telephone with some representative of some company who has messed up your billing or policy and try to straighten it out? And you talk to them, and you talk to them, and you get put on hold, and you talk to them some more, and in the end, you get no satisfaction, and finally you say, I need to talk to your supervisor. You been there? Okay, been there. We just love that, don't we? How many of you have been in a store and confronted in some way or other that was unhelpful or inappropriate by an employee and felt the need to have a discussion with that person's manager? A few of us have. Who's in charge of this place? I want to talk to somebody who has corporate responsibility. Responsibility ultimately not only for the outcome that I hope to achieve, but responsibility for all the people that I have dealt with thus far. Someone who can instruct them, teach them better, or if necessary, fire them. Because somebody has that responsibility for this situation and these people, and they need to exercise the responsibility that they have been given. I say this as a background to understanding this short little passage that Mark read for us. For Christ is the head of every man. Now, I realize that it goes right on then to say this terribly out of keep with the time things, that man is the head of a woman. And I was real tempted just to let that lie. Because I don't need any extra grief at the Christmas season. But it is an instance of rhetorical pairing that is the understanding of the second premise is meant to bleed back and help you understand better the first premise. Christ is the head of every man, and man is the head of a woman. Now, I want to emphasize the dissimilarities as well as the similarities in the two statements. Christ is the head of every man. How many men? Every man. And by man, it also means women. Every human being who lives, has ever lived, will ever live, Christ is the head of every man. Now, what we're to understand about this is stated in a much more specific, limited, and singular way, but a man is the head of a woman. And I need you to understand that in the language of the New Testament, there is no distinction between the word for woman and wife. Same word. And this, I am sure that this is just a historical accident of phonics. But I always laugh at the word. The word for woman in New Testament Greek is gune. You make of it what you will. This at least is the biblical view. And I know that even limiting it this way is out of keeping with the times. And yet it is what I believe. When a man marries a woman, she becomes his wife. He assumes some corporate responsibility for her welfare, for her happiness, for her spiritual and physical states. In the Christian view, in the eyes of God, when a man takes a wife, he assumes this level of corporate responsibility. That will not be agreed to in the world. It may make some people even in this room uncomfortable, but it is what the Bible teaches. It's not in this passage, but there's another step. When a man and his wife bring children into the world, those two together assume some corporate responsibility. As we have learned in recent events in the news, you can go to jail for what your kids do, because you have corporate responsibility for them. My kids are all middle-aged people now. There's a middle-aged person sitting on the front row, second row, right here. He's my son. He's old enough to assume responsibility for himself. So there. But I'm going to tell you this. If my children go astray because of something I taught them when they were still young, because of something that I modeled before them when they were still young, don't you think that God still holds me accountable? And the answer is yes, He does. Because I have assumed a corporate responsibility for my wife and for my children in the eyes of God. Now, I'm not responsible for your children, and you're not responsible for mine in the same sense that each of us is not responsible for, or is responsible for our own. And nobody else's wife has anything to do with my corporate responsibility in this sense. It's a specific limited thing in this one relationship, but understanding it here is intended, in Paul's view, to help us understand it better, where it does become universal and inclusive. Christ is the head of every man. He assumes corporate responsibility for us. And I say all that so that I can get back to what I've been doing for a few weeks now, talking about the qualifications for that central starring role in the Christmas drama. And I present them in a slightly different order than I preach them. But number one, Christ had to have complete knowledge of what He was getting into. Had to know who we were. Had to know what we were like. And it says no creature is hidden from His sight, as we were reading there in Hebrews. And He had that sufficient foreknowledge. Then it says that because He took on flesh and was tempted in every way as we are tempted, He becomes our sympathetic high priest. He understands our weaknesses and is qualified to help us. And third, even though He was tested in every way as you and I are tested, lived amidst the constant pressures of the fallen world, was personally afflicted by Satan, He remained without sin, succeeding where we failed. And fourth, Christ assumes corporate responsibility for us. He is the head of every man. Now we understand this, we all know it, but I'm not sure that we always think it through all the way. But we get it beginning with concepts like this. There are how many names under heaven whereby we may be saved? The number is easy, it's one. No man comes unto the Father except by Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He is our only Savior. He is our only option as Savior. But there is a flip side to this coin. If Christ is our only Savior, He is also our only Judge. For those who are not subject to His saving power are excluded. He is the Savior of all humanity. He is also the Judge of all humanity. At the end of the line, we will be included in one eternity or excluded to another on His say-so alone, because He is our corporate head and has assumed the responsibility and the authority to make these decisions. Everything hinges on Him, for He is the head of every man. Now, we are used to this in normal earthly societal terms, but we generally spread it out a little bit more. There are legislatures from the local to the federal level, and they will determine things. For instance, Bill Costello, the legislature can determine what you can and cannot do with your property, even though you presumably own it. They can tell you what you can't do with it, and you're stuck with it because the corporate authority has been granted to them, and it sticks, right? There's judiciary, and we get to participate in the judiciary by the jury system, but there's also judges, and there's the whole system, and they go through the whole thing, and it comes down to just this. It comes down to this, it comes down to this, Brian Westfall. If at the end of the day, they, with the power of corporate responsibility vested in them, say that you have to go to jail for X number of years or the rest of your life, off to jail you go. You may not like, I have no anticipation that Brian is headed to jail. I just looked around and picked somebody. You wouldn't like it. You might disagree with it, but corporate authority over your destiny has been put in their hands, and they may exercise it. That is the nature of things. You know, there are things loosely called boards of review. They get other names, but here's the deal. You may intend to be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer. And you may go and take all the right classes and get passing grades. And you spent all the money for the tuition. And you did the whole thing. But at the end of the line, the board of review can look at you and say, nope. And you move forward no further. Because that authority has been put in their hands. And they can exercise their authority over your life because they have been given it. Christ is the head of every man. And in His hand is the single greatest decision that will or can be made about you and me. And He has been given authority to make it. How does Christ become the head of every man? Well, in two ways. If you go back and read the first chapter of the Gospel according to John, and I won't read it all, but you're familiar with it. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says the Word was their co-creator with God. And without the Word, nothing that was made is made, because Jesus, the Word, was there in the beginning when all the making was being done. He designed us. He created us. And by virtue of that, on the God side of things, He is our head. But there is more. We're talking about the incarnation because it's Christmas, and I want you to consider one additional implication of it. If you were to read Romans 5, and again, I won't read the whole thing, but it's a familiar passage. We understand this. There was this guy named Adam. How many of us are descended from Adam? Well, all of us. All of us come from the line of Adam. And Adam failed. Now, see, I'm only ultimately in a position to mess up the lineage of a certain slice of people. Because not all people are descended from me, but we are all descended from Adam. And Adam failed in righteousness, obedience, and devotion before God, and so became subject to death. And death is all he had to pass on to the rest of us. Because we all come from Adam, he is, in this sense, our corporate head. And what we get from him is death and failure. But when Christ came in the flesh, he came, Paul says, as a second Adam. And he succeeded where the first Adam failed, being without sin, pure before God. And it is now arranged that we can transfer our lineage from the first Adam, who has only death and failure to bequeath to us, to the second Adam, who has life and glory to bequeath to us. What a deal! In other words, we can cease to be the sons of Adam and begin to be the sons of God through Jesus Christ, because we have transferred the authority that goes with corporate responsibility from this head to that one. Christ is the head of every man, in the church, out of the church, in the kingdom, out of the kingdom. He is our head by divine right, and he was fully God. And he is our head by human right, and he was fully man. The qualifications for the starring role in the Christmas drama. And you could perhaps come up with more, but I will give you just these four upon which I have concentrated to know the score in advance, to be fully tested and tempted as we are tested, yet to be without sin, and to have the right to assume corporate responsibility for us. Now, I want you to know, I told you, you can go to jail for what your kids do. Christ went to the cross for what we did. Christ went to the tomb for what we did. And if you carefully read what Paul and Peter said, Christ went to hell for what we did, because he assumed corporate responsibility for every man. In all of creation, in all of time, in all generations of humanity, there has been exactly one person who was qualified for the central role of the Christmas drama. And had he opted out, we would be without hope. But he did not opt out. And as we celebrate this week, let your merriest Christmas thoughts center on this, There is one who had become qualified to do everything that is needed to save you.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.